The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. It was a 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around all the wrong things.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Thank you folks for tuning in and joining the conversation here today. Fabulous show in store for you. We go all over the North American continent today. We start in Williston, North Dakota, where we have Keith Olson, Regional Director of the North Dakota Small Business Center. We'll be heading to Keith Olson in just a second, but also we're going to head up to Canada, where we have Terry Edom. He's Canada's greatest export. He's an author, a blogger, and a writer for the BOE Report, blogger for Public Energy Number One, and the author of the book, The End of the Fossil Fuel Insanity. He is a man, a myth, a legend, Canada's greatest export, Terry Edom. Then we head down to the Permian, where Sarah Stogner has started a brand new series on zombie wells, just in time for Halloween, folks. Zombie Wells, it's a new series on TikTok. We'll be joining her. And then Lauren Scott talks about next year's 2023 economic energy planning. All that plus much more on today's episode of The Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Let's go right to Keith Olson up in the Bakken Shale Play in Williston, North Dakota.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
Coming to you live here from Train ND Northwest, Keith Olson is with us, the Small Business Development Center Director for the Northwest Region, or I guess what would be the correct title, sir?
Regional Director for the we kind of follow the planning districts, so I've got Williams and McKenzie County, and then we have somebody that helps us part-time up in Crosby to cover Divide County.
Okay, and how many different Small Business Development Centers are there across the state of North Dakota?
I think we have nine. We have one in Fargo with two staff members, Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Minot, Dickinson, Bowman, and myself.
Okay.
And Bismarck.
Of course, recession talk is all over the national media. It's starting to trickle out in the local media. Out here in Williston and Watford City, the small business is kind of booming, isn't it?
Well, we've had a really good year as far as loan volume. You know, we've so far year to date, I think we've had about $60 million in small business loans. You know, it's a bit misleading in that some of the construction projects take a while. So some of these projects might have been started last year, those kinds of things. But, you know, we're starting to see things slow down. We're starting to see, you know, the increased cost of labor, the increased rent, increased cost of doing business. You know, I think a lot of the people that would come and see us are people that would like to start businesses. A lot of those people have gotten, you know, some raises where they're working. The interest rates are starting to have an impact on people wanting to take the plunge. And just the fact that, like, specifically in Williston, we're sort of running out of good, you know, retail or rental space for somebody to start a business that would rely on any kind of traffic for sales. And then, you know, restaurants are, I think, all over kind of struggling with reduced hours with the labor force. You see a lot of them that are closed a day or two a week that weren't before, those kinds of things.
How about in the oil and gas industry? I've seen either some rigs moving around or coming in or leaving or something like that. I've seen activity happening. What is going on the boots on the ground out here as far as the oil and gas activity?
Most of the customers I have that I work with on the oil and gas front are staying very busy. Again, it's a constraint of labor. I think everybody I've worked with has got openings for multiple positions. You know, it goes in circles or cycles. At times we have a lot of people that are trying to buy their own trucks and go do their own thing, whether it's hauling water, crude, or frac sand. Early in the year, we had a lot of people come through doing that, and now the last couple, 3 months, that's really tapered off. And I think part of that, too, is because there's you know, obviously a shortage of labor, but I think finding good used trucks is even a bit of a challenge. You're having to go quite a ways to even get the kind of truck you'd want to use out here.
Labor shortage is an issue, it sounds like, all over the place. Are you seeing it from any specific area, whether it be trucking, or is it, you know, finding someone to work at a seafood restaurant in Williston or something like that? Because I noticed there are a lot of restaurants that are just not open. Oh, it was Monday yesterday, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing reduced hours on weekends. We're seeing, you know, I don't, it's one of those great questions we ask all the time is like, where are all the people that are typically taking these jobs?
How is rent and mortgage getting paid?
Yeah, you know, I don't, I mean, you know, I don't know what's happened. You know, I know even at the last job fair, they considered it a good number of job seekers. I think north of 250 or whatever. And, you know, I think they were happy with that. But that even is a considerable drop from, you know, what it used to be not that long ago with people looking. It's one of those things we talk about all the time, and I don't think anybody has a real good answer on why we're so short of labor, other than I think we saw a lot of early retirements during COVID, and it doesn't seem like the high school workforce is as engaged as it used to be with a lot of these part-time jobs.
Before COVID, you mean?
Yeah, I would say in the last 5 to 7 to 10 years, but certainly pre-COVID.
You guys give out loans, you said?
We don't. My job is if somebody comes in and wants to start a business, it's my job to help them get the business plan put together, create the financials, kind of be an expert on whatever the local financing programs are. Like in Williston's case, I take the applications for the STAR Fund, which is the city sales tax fund, and then make it easier for the lender so that in one trip into the bank, they can be completely prepared with what the bank is going to require in order to take it to loan committee or evaluate the loan.
Sure. How does somebody do that? Then they set up an appointment. Do they walk in? Do they set, you know, is everything done online or?
Nope. It's all 100% phone call. Make an appointment. We're a free service across the state. There's no cost for any of our services. We're supported with, some of our funding comes through SBA. Our program is headquartered out of UND, and then we have to match those federal dollars with state and local funds. And basically, our stuff's on the web or word of mouth. They get our phone number, they call, they make an appointment, and we do what we can to help them.
To listen to the full-length interview with Keith Olson, Regional Director of the North Dakota Small Business Development Center, or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Up next, we travel north of the border to talk to Terry Edom, Canada's greatest export. My name is Jason Spies, and you're listening to The Crude Life Week in Review.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My Slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code OTIS. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code OTIS. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code OTIS, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code OTIS, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code OTIS.
First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us.
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We're going to head north of the border to talk to Canada's greatest export, Terry Edom.
How is Canadian inflation doing?
Well, it's just like everyone else's. It's insane. It's just, and there's even shortages of some things. I was trying to find a secondhand car all for the past 8 months, and I'm not paying new prices for an old used car. And yeah, the price of everything is just marching up. I think it's a global phenomenon. I don't know that you can't. I know people up here are blaming our prime minister for inflation, and probably they're blaming Biden for inflation. And that's not directly true, but indirectly is part of this whole movement that is energy underpins everything. And when you create a shortage of energy and drive up the price, and that drives up the price of everything. So I think there's all of the crazy government borrowing that's been going on for years, and we're all in debt up to our eyeballs, the governments of the world. But I think that the biggest problem, and I agree with you right now, I don't think we're even going yet on inflation because it's energy driven. And what happens when there's a shortage of aluminum and a shortage of fertilizer and a shortage, then that's going to get baked into the price of everything. So those things will get bid up in price even more than they are now. And the more the energy squeeze happens, the more Germany stops producing industrial chemicals, the more somebody else will, and the more the price will go up. So we're just getting going on inflation. It's going to be awful.
You know, we were talking yesterday on the radio on Super Talk 1270 Bismarck about in New Zealand, they were starting to, or they introduced, the government of New Zealand introduced legislation or whatever they call it over there to tax cows and sheep that, you know, pee and burp and poop and stuff like that because of the methane. And as ridiculous as that is the direction that our leadership is taking us, is down that type of just, I don't even know how to call it, but at the end of the day, what we pointed out was that this technology is now there. They tried to do it in the early 2000s where in America, they actually tried to get all the farmers to count the head of cattle for tax reasons. Well, the farmers came back and they said, well, we can't do that. Well, now they have drones. So now they can just tell everybody, well, go buy a drone. Well, we can't afford it. Well, we'll give you a little bit of money for it and then you can go track it and then we'll get it on the back end with the taxes. So it's really quite incredible. This you call it a squeeze, and I, you know, whether it's inflation, is every time I look around, what you're talking about is exactly right, which is from the energy point of view, which is the root of everything. Okay, they're starting to tax and they're starting to drive up the prices. The only thing that you can bypass is some sort of agriculture if you bypass the pesticides and herbicides and all these other things, but even that now, they're going to tax as well. So no matter where you look at it, the root cause of what you eat and what you heat your homes with and what you drive your vehicles with, whether you have an EV car or a gas combustible car, the taxes are going up and up and up. That's why I don't think inflation's even started yet, is because, Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
I think you're absolutely right, and it's kind of, I follow a bunch of economists, and they're so used to gauging inflation in terms of just the standard, the government has to reduce interest rates too low, and that created the inflation, and they'll increase interest rates, and that'll reduce the inflation. It's like, no, I think this is a different world we're in. I think this is an actual physical shortage of things kind of inflation, where it's there's just not enough of whatever to go around, and We lose sight of the fact of everything because it just shows up in our supermarket and Home Depot and Home Hardware or whatever. And So that's Canadian chain, Home Depot. All of that stuff just appears miraculously. And
Time out. Be kind, rewind here. Back the truck up. Home Depot is a Canadian chain?
No. Home Hardware is a Canadian chain.
Home Hardware. Okay, I was going to say, Home Depot is a Canadian chain, I got some jokes that I'm only going to make on the podcast after hours. Okay. Anyways, go on.
I'm sorry. I was wrong there. But we lose sight of the fact that there's 8 billion people on Earth now that all have to be fed every single day, 3 times a day, or maybe once or twice for the less fortunate parts of the world. But that food only exists in this steady flow because of pesticides, herbicides, fertilizer that allow us to grow these crops in these massive quantities. Like a farm is an incredibly efficient beast now. I grew up on a farm and I hardly recognize it when I go drive through the fields. There are tractors on GPS marching around the field on autopilot, and the yields are spectacular, and they fertilize. They have a map of a field where fertilizer is optimized for each little sector of the field. Every little hill, mini hill, which is like a few feet above the others, which has a different soil composition, gets a different fertilizer treatment. And it's so scientific and so smart and so beautiful. And we take that for granted. And here governments come marching into the middle of it saying, we're going to rip this all apart. And by the way, we're going to take all your corn and we're going to ship it for ethanol because we need to meet some fuel standard. And so that limits the supply of food even more. So it's the governments are acting so irresponsibly that it's just really breathtaking.
What do you have in Calgary? Edmonton and Calgary are known as, you know, the oil and gas hotspots when it comes to Canadian energy. There might be some other places too, but those are the two that come to mind right off the top.
That's in Canada. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. What's going on up there? I haven't heard much out of Edmonton lately, but is Calgary still getting some gas, or what do you got? That's right. Your day job, actually, you kind of work or are part of a natural gas company.
Yeah. Little natural gas company. Yeah. So it's a really bizarre time in the industry. So we survived a bunch of lean years where the cash flow went to near zero or negative for some companies. A lot of them went out of business. The ones that survived are like hardened street rats now. And then at the same time, prices rebounded back in a way that almost no one foresaw, natural gas and oil at the same time. So the cash flow being generated now is just unbelievable, which you would think would be cause for celebration. And it's more of a sigh of relief, but it's really weird this time around. So we have a boom. And the market in Canada and the U.S. and around the world is signaling, we want more oil, we want more natural gas, we need it, we're willing to pay for it. And the producing community is saying, it's too bad. We're taking all our surplus cash flow and we're giving it back to shareholders because the whole world hates us and nobody wants us to grow. Nobody will allow us to build new pipelines, new infrastructure. There's protesters everywhere. We're just kind of done with this. So you want us to wither? We're going to wither, and we're taking all our excess cash flow and we're shipping it out of the industry. And so that it's this very, very weird environment. And now we see governments starting to pile on and look at all these profits and going, hey, wait a minute, you're making all this money on the backs of consumers. So either produce more or give us all your money. And we say, well, okay, we'll produce more, but we need to build a pipeline. We can't build a pipeline. Okay, we want to build an LNG export terminal. I'm sorry, you can't build an LNG. So what do you want? We want you to produce more, but with no emissions. But then we're going to work hard to throttle you anyways. And this is happening in the U.S. too. That's why you see guys like Toby Rice being so wonderfully outspoken, the head of EQT, just with these brilliant talks about how the world needs.
To listen to the full-length interview with Canada's greatest export, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Terry Edom, go to thecrudelife.com. We have other exclusive interviews as well at thecrudelife.com. Coming up next, we travel down to the Permian, where Sarah Stogner has started a brand new series on TikTok documenting zombie wells. My name is Jason Spies, and you're listening to The Crude Life Week in Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what love is. Like, that is
the type of things that are. Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made of it for me that I am?
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner.
Going on through your social media channels, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So I think the best thing for people to do is go follow me and look. You know, you can. My newest venture is a TikTok account called Zombie Wells, W-E-L-L-Z, because Zombie Wells with an S was already taken. But
yeah, but Zombie Wells with a Z works better with the zombies.
Yeah, right, there you go.
Yeah.
So what I found is, especially on really technically complex well issues, right? I mean, things that are happening 3,000 or 10,000 feet below the ground, fluid dynamics, physics, engineering, right? Very technically complex issues. You have to make them interesting to the average person, and they have to be able to grasp what you're talking about. And so I can quickly start talking about hydrostatic heads and pressures and all these things, and people's eyes glaze over and they're lost. But if you show them a picture of a well that's got salt crystals all over it and black crude and it's bubbling gas, and you put some creepy TikTok music on it, and you say, on today's episode of Zombie Wells, we introduce you to the Estes number 3. And I totally stole this from a lady who's been on TikTok for a long time, who in October does creepy lake months, or spooky lake months, she calls it. And so she does a deep geological dive into various water bodies. And she's fascinating. She's got over 1 million followers and she's great. And so how you do this on any subject matter is you find your niche, you get compelling visuals, and you match that with a little bit of education, and people want to learn. They're interested, and it makes it accessible and interesting and, you know, minute little tidbits. And so I'm actually going to follow up. We're in the process right now of creating a new website that people would, it'll be interactive where they can go and click on a map and they'll be able to click and they'll be able to see pictures of the wellbores. They'll be able to get the old records because everyone's looking at it from a different perspective, right? So if you've got an average citizen that has no idea about oil and gas, my goal isn't for them to start going learning the nuances of hydrostatic heads. It's for them to say, this is probably something that could be impacting my life. We all need groundwater. I'm going to talk to my neighbors about the election. Or I'm, you know what I'm saying? I just want to get people interested. I want them to know what the Railroad Commission does, kind of thing. Whereas my motivation for the industry is very different. My motivation with the industry is I want every single subject matter expert who has something to contribute that wants to know about this and wants to contribute, I want them to be able to access the information and then help us figure out what's actually going on, right? Like, so I'm in the unique circumstance of we have these old wells that are, and I guess we should define zombie wells, right? We've got these wells that have been drilled
All right, hang on here. Let's pause for just a second here, yeah. Okay? Because I agree. I was going to interject when you took a breath, which is very difficult for you to do, I could tell, which I absolutely love because you're an attorney. So, folks, we're going to define three different types of wells. First one is orphan wells, and then we're going to define abandoned wells. And then the third term that popped up a couple years ago is zombie wells. So I wanted to find out, first of all, if my definition of zombie well matches what Sarah's definition is. So first of all, the standard definition for an abandoned well is when there's an unproductive well where they actually know whose well it is. So they can identify which company is attached to that well. An orphan well is where they just have no idea which operator is attached to it. And Curtis Shuck with the Well Done Foundation is doing a great job of capping orphan wells, which primarily are from, you know, the 1800s and the early 1900s when there wasn't much regulation and they used like wood for oil derricks and things like that. So to have an orphan well in modern times in my world seems bizarre to me. But we can go on that in just a second. A zombie well to me, Sarah, I've always basically heard it's an upside down house. That they know who the operator is, but they need to keep it going, but it doesn't operate any money, and so they don't really pay attention to it. Define a zombie well, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so I guess for me, the distinction is, and I'm going to tweak your orphaned well a little bit. They may know who drilled the well, but there's nobody available or around with the financial wherewithal to do anything about it, right? So Joe Blow's oil company went out of business in 1973, Joe Blow's gone, that well is orphaned. And so it can be, typically they're wells that were never plugged. So in my mind, a zombie well, or the way I've been using it over the past couple of years, is these are wells whose downhole condition has not been confirmed. Maybe it's been reported as plugged and abandoned. Maybe it's been reported as just temporarily abandoned and they never came back and plugged it. Maybe it's shut in, whatever. But you don't have enough of the data to know what's happening downhole. And they are bouncing back to life. They are springing back to life, coming back from the dead because of the increased water injection that we're doing now as a result of the shale revolution. That water has to go somewhere. And we inject it deep and it causes earthquakes. We inject it shallow and it comes into contact with shallower aquifers. And these wells have casing that's been rotting and cement that may or may not have ever been there. And suddenly you've got these wells and they become unkillable when that flow is from shallow enough. And then you have to go into all the nerdy hydrostatic heads. But for my purposes, and the reason I chose zombie wells out where we are in the Central Basin Platform of the Permian Basin is because all of the new horizontal drills in the Midland Basin and the Delaware Basin, as a necessity, the reason we frack is because they don't have the porosity, right? So you can't just re-inject the water that comes out through a water flood like we have been in traditional vertical wells. And that water has to go somewhere. And so they're piping it or trucking it to disposals in the Central Basin Platform. They're injecting it into the San Andreas Formation, specifically in the Central Basin Platform, which in some places is an oil and hydrocarbon producing zone, and in other cases it's not, but it has become overpressurized. You see it in the new 4 and 5 string casing designs that they're talking about as they're drilling these new horizontals in the Permian. And so we're encountering much higher pressures, shallower, and it is bringing these old wells back to life.
Water always finds its own level. So you mentioned it's a lot of this is, these are wells that have been unproductive for years that are bouncing back to life because of the, you know, like I said, water is going to find its level and it's going to find underneath. And so just through the natural progression of water moving underground, that's what's bringing these back to life.
Yeah. That they are over injecting into these shallower disposal wells at like 3,000 feet. And they fractured the formation. It's compounding, right, Jason? It's 70 years of sloppy construction, lack of maintenance, and it's biting us in the butt. And we cannot continue to kick the can down the road. I don't think it's fair for us to impose our 2022 knowledge on what these guys were doing in the 50s and 60s. But now that we know better, we have to recognize that we've got a problem and say, okay, maybe they should have done better, but they didn't know better in the past. Once we know better.
To listen to the full-length interview with America's energy influencer, Sarah Stogner, or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott gives us an economic and energy outlook for 2023. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life We Can Review.
Have a question, know an expert, or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town, and some other people running
around. Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott gives us an energy and economic outlook for 2023.
Yeah, well, of course, the main thing that's impacting is the price of natural gas and the availability of natural gas. This is compounding Europe's problem. It's solidifying Europe's problem going into this coming winter, because there are a number of natural gas pipelines coming into Europe from Russia, but that was kind of the key one that was feeding Germany. And of course, Germany is the industry powerhouse in the EU. And, now they're just really faced with shutting down a lot of industry. And so what people are, Will Rogers once said that there are three kinds of people in the world. There's the people who learn by reading. They're the people who learn by observation. And then some people just have to pee on the electric fence to learn. And I don't want to mess up your radio show, but basically what's going on here is Europe has been peeing on the electric fence, and they're going to find out they're going to learn the harsh lesson this coming winter. And I think it's maybe changing people's attitudes all across the globe when they see what happens when you go whole hog into renewables and say we're not going to do any more fossil fuels.
One of the other areas that I think the awareness and the education is going to come through is the supply chain and some of the inflation. If you go back and take a listen at Dr. Lauren Scott here on The Crude Life, we were tackling these supply chain issues long before the mainstream media. In fact, because it was a hurricane that was shutting down some of the refineries down there about a year ago and then the Huntington Beach thing happened shortly after that. So the supply chain inflation issues were happening. They were creeping up earlier than people thought. This is you mentioned food, and I wanted to bring up a couple areas because a lot of people don't understand the fossil fuel connection with food, whether it be, the tractors or the feedstock. But Canada came out and really went all in against pesticides and some fertilizers and a number of different things. So the Canadian crop market is going to be impacted next year. The Ukraine had tens of millions of acres of wheat that were burned in the conflict happening over there. You mentioned the things happening over in Africa. I do think, number one, we're going to have some food shortage issues next year. Number two, though, I think this is going to be kind of an educational piece on the flip side of it as well. How do you read some of the supply chain issues, whether it be from the food side of things or from the oil and gas getting things out to the market side?
Well, I think the key thing is that when you have a country like Canada or Sri Lanka, for example, that says, we're not going to use ammonia fertilizers anymore. We're not going to use pesticides anymore. Basically, what they're doing is appealing on the electric fence. Okay, it only takes 1 year to learn your lesson on that, because the next year your crop output is so much lower that you got rising food prices, which will cost you politically beyond belief. And secondly, it just creates, it's really nice to go to a grocery store and see all those goods, canned goods, and all those fresh vegetables around. When they're not there, I mean, that's really, really bad. And you experience that, like in Sri Lanka, they experienced that 1 year of food shortages, and they rioted and they said, "Hell no, let's get the ammonia fertilizer back here. We need to grow food." So it's one of those things where it seems like it's really smart on the surface. Maybe initially, it's a great thing, it's a green thing, but then when you have to deal with the reality, you say, "Oh shoot, this hurts. This is a bad plan." And so they will, unfortunately, on the food side, they learn that very quickly. That's not something that takes 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years. You learn it straight away. And I think Canada and Sri Lanka has already learned it, and Europe is going to learn it too.
Economic outlook for Louisiana. Of course, there's a lot of annual meetings happening right now, whether it be in oil and gas or agriculture or universities. Talk about this economic outlook that came out, you published last week.
Well, as it turns out, if you look at a map of the United States, look at the 50 states, and look at how far the state has come in recovering from the shutdown due to COVID, you'll find that many of the states in the United States are either 100% back or very, very close to that. But in Louisiana, we're only 69% back, as 68% back as of this past June. And that's the second worst performance in the country. And the primary reason for that is not because our economy generally sucks. It's because we've had five major natural disasters. We've had three major hurricanes, Winter Storm Uri, and a major flood in Lake Charles area. And so basically we're way down because, you know, when you have a natural disaster, your employment drops off like a beat, part of a bee. You just go straight down. Well, we're in the process of coming up the other side of that V. It is kind of natural to recover, get those jobs back from a natural resource disaster. But ours were so heavy and so many that we've been very slow to get back. But right now, if you look across our state, generally speaking, the economy is very good. Down along the southern part of the state, this is where your LNG export terminals are coming in. Europe desperately needs natural gas, and one of the ways they're going
to listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. That's going to do it for today's The Crude Life Week in Review. We will be back next week at this time on this radio station. We'd like to thank you once again for joining the conversation. All these exclusive interviews are available in their entirety at thecrudelife.com. From the staff here at The Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember, we are all energy, and all energy has a purpose. With that, make it a fantastic day.
I see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble I have, still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to behold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never want to leave.
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by
It Takes an Industry to Build a Forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.